Welcome in to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. I'm your host, Charlie Ermeliotis. The Blackhawks fall to the Winnipeg Jets 6-3 on the eve of Thanksgiving. As John was mentioning, let's go back to Winnipeg at Canada Life Center and bring in Colin Frazier, who was on the call with John. First off, Halloween. I didn't think I was going to be preparing for a scary day tomorrow, John. What was going on over here?
You know, Charlie, it's just that I just want to advise anybody that, you know, might be driving around and, you know, you get a little absent-minded sometime. And by the way, this is going to be my only contribution to this segment. But, you know, people get a little absent-minded sometimes. They're looking at their cell phones while they're behind the wheel of a car. They're going to have little kids walking around that are going to be trick-or-treating. So I'm just asking people to exercise a little bit of caution.
All right. Good PSA there. I was thinking more, don't give out bad candy. But that's okay.
I hope no one's giving out bad candy. Oh, boy.
All right. I digress. Hawks fall to the Winnipeg Jets 6-3. Colin, we were talking about it, or you guys were talking about it on the air. It's just, you look at some of the underlying metrics, it didn't feel like a 6-3 lopsided game. I know Winnipeg found themselves up 5-1 in the third period, but it just felt like Winnipeg flexed their muscles. They capitalized on their chances, and the Hawks weren't able to.
Yeah, I think that's what you get with a veteran team with high skill, especially those top players on Winnipeg, and they make you pay. You give them a little bit of time and space. It doesn't take much for them to almost create something out of nothing. And, you know, you talk about the first period, the two-on-one late in the first period, and Scheifele fires a nice pass over to Vilardi, and then the third goal in the second period where it was DeMello finding Vilardi in the slot again for a nice low blocker shot. And then just like that, the game kind of runs away. And it's you're sitting there and you're looking at the numbers and you're looking at the chances and everything looked good. But not to go old school, but analytics don't mean much when it's 6-1 or it ended up being 6-3. Sorry, it's 5-1 at the time. On the scoreboard, really, that's all that matters is what the score is. So you take the good with the bad and move on to the next game, I think. You know, Winnipeg's a top team. They're going to be a top team in the NHL. They won the President's Trophy last year, so it was a little bit of a lesson to a young Blackhawk team.
Winnipeg, they have a lot of really elite centers. Scheifele, obviously Taves, he was excellent in the faceoff circle. We'll get to him in a little bit. They have terrific goaltending, arguably the best Connor Hellebuyck he's been in the regular season the last few years. It really does feel like today was a measuring stick-type game for the Blackhawks, who have shown significant signs of improvement in the first 10 games. But this is kind of a, I don't want to say a reality check, but it was like, all right, we still got some work to do if we want to get to a level like Winnipeg.
Well, that's just it. I mean, that's the, you know, elite or the top of the top. And star players, I mean, I couldn't stop talking about Mark Scheifele in this game. And he does it with, like, grace. You know, he's not out there running around. He's not out there, you know, like a crazy motor engine playing all busy. He's just super smart, super smooth, makes good plays, can play against top lines, you know, been in the league a long time. And then Kyle Connor goes, he had a couple of assists, made a couple nice plays, and then he goes and scores the backhand short side goal over Spencer Knight's glove side, looking like a young Patrick Kane, you know, like he makes it look easy. Elite players find ways to score goals and produce offensively, and it's not easy. I mean, it's the NHL. It's not easy, especially against a team like that. And then you talk about Hellebuyck. I mean, John and I were talking in the third. It's like, it's almost like he makes every save look easy, like it's a routine save. He never juggles a puck. He never leaves bad rebounds out there. He's able to smother pucks, scoop them up, and kind of, you know, slow the game down at times by freezing the pucks. So, you know, he won the Hart Trophy last year. He won the Vezina Trophy last year, and it's evident as to why. And, you know, not that the Blackhawks had a ton of, like, high quality chances over and over, but when they did, he was there and he did his job.
You mentioned the top line for Winnipeg: Connor, Scheifele, Vilardi. I was looking at some of the metrics, and when they were on the ice together at 5-on-5, they led in shot attempts, shots on goal, scoring chances, goals for. But when they weren't on the ice, the Blackhawks led in all three of those categories, and it was tied 1-1 in the goals for department. So that was the difference-making line, it felt like, in this game.
Yeah, it's amazing how just three players can impact a game as much as they did. There's a reason why they're getting paid the amount of money they're getting paid. And talking about Kyle Connor, how we said he's worth every single penny of it too. And with that said, the Blackhawks are coming, right? Like, outside of just this game, it's like they give you these bursts and they give you this excitement. And even though it was 5-1, they make it 5-2, they make it 5-3. Vlasic on the 5-2 goal, Burakovsky goes through the legs on the 5-3 goal. And, even Bedard himself had his patented snapshot or toe drag release. He had it a number of times with some good looks on net. He had, what did he have? How many shots on net did he have? Whatever it was.
I think he had three shots on goal, but he had seven shot attempts,
right? So, like, if you're shooting the puck like that and, whatever, good players score at 12 to 15% rate, like, they're going to go in. It's going to fall. So, coming off the hat trick, and then he had one assist tonight. He's coming. The difference is he's 19. Wait till he has 800 games under his belt and we're doing this game in Winnipeg and Scheifele and Connor aren't playing anymore and we'll be having the same conversation with the shoe on the other foot, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a cycle, right? The Hawks, the last several years, they've been in a reload period of their organization. The Winnipeg Jets are currently right now in their window. I mean, their top players are prime age, goaltender is perfect, and so in a couple years the Hawks are going to elevate into that status of where Winnipeg is right now, and hopefully they're competing for the same Stanley Cup.
Well, yeah, and hopefully the Frankie Nazars and the Bedards and the Ryan Greens, who I also thought had a pretty good game with a couple good chances himself, and you got Sam Renzel and Levshunov and Kaiser, like all these guys are playing in Vlasic, and hopefully they learn something from it, right? Like, so when they go back to the room and back to the airplane and head up to Edmonton, and they saw what Scheifele did and what Connor did, and Kyle Connor, that is, and Gabe Vilardi, like, it's like, they can do that. They know, like, good players know what they're capable of, and all those guys, I almost guarantee you, are sitting there being like, well, we can do that too. So,
right.
But you got to do it the right way. Like, you can't cheat it and you can't try to force it. It's like, hopefully it's a learning lesson for them of how good those players are and how they make the right plays, seemingly all the time. And, I don't want to call it a passing of the torch or anything like that, but, kind of like a lesson really where they can grow and get better and get stronger. And, we've had a good start to the year. I mean, all things considered, of course, everybody wants to be in the playoffs. But like, before the season started, if you said the Hawks were at where they're at right now, I think everyone would take it, or certainly the ones that are following along in the rebuild would take it for sure.
Right. Got a couple more for you, but I got to double check. You're not catching the team bus, correct?
I'm not catching the team bus. Okay. No, I'm on my own because I, as the scout scout side of me, my real job, chasing these young players around and trying to find new young Blackhawks heading into the weekend. So I'll be doing my day job on the weekend and then coming back for the radio on the Monday and Wednesday next week.
All right. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to make you late for the bus. So. All right. Jonathan Toews, the big storyline for him, facing his old team. We were talking about it in the pregame show. I imagine it was a lot of emotions for him. Even though there's been a lot of turnover on the Blackhawks roster, there are very few guys that he has played with. I think Teravainen, Murphy are the two that I can think of. Obviously, the trainers and the equipment staff, Parchy, all those guys are the same. But what do you think he was feeling tonight? And it seemed like I'm looking at the numbers here. He finished with six shots on goal, which led all skaters. That doesn't feel right to me, but he was impactful when it came to the numbers.
Well, and he had those. I'm thinking in my head, like, a lot of them were in tight, right? Like, he does a really good job on the power play. He did this with the Blackhawks too, where like Patrick Kane would run the half wall, right, and then he would be the goal line guy,
right,
down low. So let's call it net front goal line guy, where he kind of, he's in net front, he kind of pops out to the goal line, and he was in the same spot here, and he took a couple to the net there, especially in the third period, where he kind of even gets the puck below the goal line and sees a little lane and tries to take it and jam it in there. But he plays such a calm game to me. Like, he's so smart, maybe not as fast as he once was, or certainly not as you know, I don't know, like dynamic, I guess, like taking him back to his younger years, but he does it. He still gets his puck touches and still gets his possessions and still wins his faceoffs. And he does all these intangibles really, really well that he's always done well. You know, even when you get older and you're kind of slow down, you can't, your brain doesn't slow down. Your brain still, works really, really well. And, I think it was evident tonight. He didn't dominate the game. He didn't do anything fancy that you're going to see on the highlight reel, but, he gives Winnipeg a lot more depth and especially at, the second line center. I mean, they were still missing Charlie. They were still missing Cole Perfetti and Adam Lowry.
Yep.
So, like, those are two pretty impactful players, too, themselves. So you take those two guys and bump two players down and then bump two players out of the lineup. Like, you have a deeper team or as deep a team as anybody in the league. So, adding Johnny Toews, you know, in the offseason, they kind of the bonus incentivized contract where it kind of depends, you know, how many games he plays and how well he does and all that stuff. But he seems to be fitting in really well. Like, in my opinion, exceeded expectations. Not that I knew or I don't know what I thought he was going to be, but for a guy that hasn't played for two seasons, like, he looks just fine out there. Good start. I'm happy for him. You know, I obviously don't want them to win the game, but I think we're all Blackhawks fans would be rooting for Johnny Toews. I think that's fair to say.
Right. It's almost like we didn't have any expectations because we didn't want to put a cap on what he could be and or what he can't be after not, you know, we didn't want to underestimate what he could do going into the season. Last one for you, Colin. So you obviously have a really small role in the larger scale part of this Blackhawks rebuild as a scout, where you just mentioned you're trying to identify this next talent. I mean, how fulfilling, maybe it's not the right word, how nice is it to start seeing these players graduate to the NHL, like a Bedard and a Frank Nazar and Sam Renzel and Lefshinov and full teardown rebuilds can require a lot of patience, but to start to see it come to fruition, I mean, how nice is that as a scout that you're putting together lists and you're helping them build a draft board, and you know it's got to be nice where it's like, all right, we can not sigh of relief here, but it's slowly starting to come together.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it, right? It's like it's exciting and you feel proud, and it just takes a lot of time. So even the young players that are on the Blackhawks, the guys you just mentioned who are contributing very, very well with, point per game paces, Frankie Nazar and Connor Bedard and then Sam Renzel, 20 plus minutes, all the guys. But, you know, we still have Frondell, in Sweden, and you got Lardis and Moore in, Rockford, and you got Roman Kantsarov in Russia, who's leading the KHL in scoring. So us scouts, University,
Sacha Boisvert.
And you got Marek Vanacker, who's at the very top or close to the top of the OHL scoring. So you get excited, almost like, seeing some of it come to fruition and at least the start of it. And we've talked a lot since the beginning when Kyle took over about a certain style of play, playing with speed and playing with competitiveness. And I think we've absolutely seen the speed without a doubt. In the games playing Ottawa last game and going back to the start of the year, just like that exciting kind of shot out of the cannon, kind of energized game that they keep playing over and over and over. But they've also shown the pushback a little bit. And I don't mean fighting and gooning it up. That's not what I mean. But like Bedard looks more mature, like no one's going to push him around. He's pushing back. Frankie Nazar's engaged and involved. And it's like, you know, we're kind of like this like new team that's coming. And even if we don't win, you're going to know we're in the game and you're going to know we're going to be there. And, watching them as 18-year-olds playing, whether that's the CHL or USHL or college or wherever they're playing, and then now seeing them turn into pros and actually become players, like real players, it's definitely really exciting. And then all the players we got coming that I mentioned that are still in the minors or still in junior, and then we got two more first-round picks this year with our own pick and the Florida pick. So now we're making jokes as to where we're going to put all these guys. I mean, they can't all play on the same team, can they? Like, there's not enough roster spots for all these guys. So the key now is to continue to develop and continue to get better because, we can draft whoever we want, but if they don't become as good of players as we all hope they become, you know, it doesn't, it's not going to matter.
Having too many quality prospects, that, my friend, is what we call a good problem to have.
Good problem. That's... I was going to say assets or like, and not that Kyle Davidson's got me on speed dial by any means, but it's just like, you know, him and Norm McIver got their hands full in that regard. Like, you know, what is the next move? And, you know, who should we draft or trade or grab and free, whatever the case may be, you know, and, but it does, it gives you a lot of things to play with, a lot of wiggle room. And, cause we still have lots of draft picks. We have lots of prospects, and lots of young players coming.
And it's encouraging too, that this early season success that the Blackhawks have seen so far, it's on the shoulders of the young players like Bedard, like Nazar, like Spencer Knight. You know, it would be nice, you know, if Ryan Donato and Tyler Bertuzzi, if they were driving the success, because wins are wins, but it's really the young players that are the ones that are driving the success early on so far in Chicago, and that's got to feel like an encouraging sign too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's their team now, right? And I think that was evident in the offseason when Kyle, you know, not going after big fish free agents or not really changing a lot of things, more just like letting the kids take the team over. And I think they've done a really good job. I mean, are there going to be headaches? Yeah, sure, there's going to be headaches. Are they going to make mistakes? Yeah, absolutely, they're going to make mistakes. But the big picture, I think they've exceeded expectations in the big picture. And it's a small sample size. There's still a lot of season left, and there's going to be ups and downs. But it's nice to see, the young kids taking it over. It's kind of like my first year on the Hawks was the 08-09 season. So you go back to the 07-08 season, and it was starting to turn. And that was, you know, Taves and Kane were like 18 and 19 years old at the time. And, you know, they're the yin and the yang. You can look at Bedard and Nazar now. And I'm not comparing them to those two players, but I'm just saying it's the same concept of them being able to take this, you know, this new Blackhawks team and hopefully could take it to the same place.
Colin, great stuff. I kept you longer than I originally intended, so please forgive me, but I think your input and insight on this Blackhawks team and just providing the insight that you do, having the behind-the-scenes look at, you know, just the prospects and getting to scout these guys, I think fans appreciated your insight. So thanks for hanging around a little longer than I intended, but we'll do it again in Seattle.
Yeah, no, awesome. I love doing this. This is fun. Now I'm going to go find some more young players to feed the system with, some more assets to add into the Blackhawks system, and enjoy my weekend, and I'll see you or hear from you on Monday.
Beautiful. All right, man. Have a great rest of your night.
Okay, thanks, Charlie.
All right, that is Colin Frazier. He was filling in for our guy, Troy Murray, on the call with John Weideman. We got sound that has rolled in from the Blackhawks locker room that we will play on the other side of the break when the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Bedard over the jet line right point. Drop pass left, Chenault. To Bedard in the high slot. He sent it down toward the net. Burakovsky put it through his leg, shoots and scores! What a play and what a shot by Andre Burakovsky. Check your highlight reels, folks. This is going to be all over. Andre Burakovsky in front of the Jets net. He was backing up. He caught that pass on his forehand and pulled it through his own feet and shot it past Connor Hellebuck. 5-3 in favor of the Jets. I want to see this one every time I get a chance. What a play.
Back here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. There was not much to cheer for in this game for the Blackhawks, but that goal by Andre Burakovsky is going to be shown on the highlight reels all night and is potentially an early goal of the year candidate for the Blackhawks. You even heard in the replay the Winnipeg Jets crowd just wowing after the replay got shown on the Jumbotron. So, unbelievable goal by Andre Burakovsky. Unfortunately, though, the Blackhawks lose to the Winnipeg Jets 6-3. But let's hear what Burakovsky had to say about this loss and his highlight reel goal.
That goal you scored, is that just like an instinctual thing that you do that, or is that something you practice?
No, it's just instinct. I was just trying to get a shot off somehow, and that's what came out. That's what happened. I wasn't thinking about doing it. It just happened. So just instinct.
Where does that rank among your favorite goals you've scored?
I don't know. It was a good goal, but I mean, at the end of the day, we didn't win the game, and that's what's most important, obviously. We'd be better if we won.
You haven't had a lot of nights like this. What was different about tonight's game as opposed to some of these previous ones?
No, I mean, I give Winnipeg credit. I mean, they're a good team. They played a hell of a game, and I think for us, I mean, we made some mistakes that cost us, and if we can eliminate those, I think it would be a different game. It's a learning process for our group. It's something we will look over tomorrow and correct and just do better next game.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Andre Burakovsky. It didn't seem like he was in the mood to talk about the highlight reel goal when it comes in a 6-3 loss, and rightfully so. Obviously, the 2 points matter most to him. I'm really liking the trio early on. I know it's only 2 games, but Green, Bedard, and Burakovsky, looking at the numbers in this game, when they were on the ice together at even strength, the shot attempts were 16-8 in favor of the Hawks. Shots on goal 7-4 in favor of the Blackhawks. Scoring chances 8-3 in favor of Chicago. And then they outscored their opponents 2-0 at 5-on-5 when that trio was on the ice. So I know it's not an ideal, maybe figured Ryan Green is more of a natural type center, not necessarily a winger, but the Bedard-Burakovsky combo, it seems like that duo has enjoyed playing with each other, and Ryan Green has brought a different element to that line, and the three of them, it's been 2 games, but I think they played really well together. Let's go over to Connor Murphy. He was one of the other two players that spoke after this 6-3 loss. He wears an A on his sweater for the Blackhawks, so I imagine on a loss like this, they want to hear from the leadership group. Let's hear what Murphy had to say about this loss.
What did you make of that game?
Oh, we didn't have our best. Took advantage of some of our mistakes, and then we weren't able to score in the first part of the game to get ahead, and just a lesson on the road to play a better game to win.
You haven't had a lot of games like this year. What can the young guys take from something like this?
There's going to be different things we'll look at tomorrow, but I think a little bit of momentum control on the road and knowing that some of your big mistakes that honestly we'd made a little bit at home, they come to bite you a little more on the road. Other teams can feel their offense a little better and can capitalize. So I think that's a little bit of learning about a road game and how we can tighten our game to get wins on the road.
What did you see on that first goal?
Which one? Kill. On the kill?
Yeah.
We were just late to slide over. It's just kind of a technical thing of sliding over in the rush. We're playing a little bit different style where we're all stacking the blue line. So reading for each other to kind of come over and help.
We're only, 3.5 weeks into the season here. How much systems work is still happening? Like, how much do you still have to learn about?
Yeah, daily. But daily, like, you kind of don't want to rely the whole thought process going into a game on just every bit of where you're standing in system. You want to just also play hockey and make reads and try to play off instinct. But daily, I'd say there's always things to learn. And, I mean, even in the second half of the season, there's going to be things that we're going to go over that might come up scenarios that are different. But it's just stuff that will continue to be harped on to us, and I think just over reps of games, things just come so solidified in you that guys don't have to think as much, and there's less and less breakdowns, I'd say.
All right, that was Blackhawks defenseman Connor Murphy. Oddly enough, finished with a +1 rating in this game, just one of four players. It was Murphy, Burakovsky, Matt Grizzlick, and Artem Lefshinov were the plus ones. Oh, and Connor Bedard. So 5 players in this loss. Yeah, it wasn't Chicago's best night. I think even we'll share some of the numbers later on, but the metrics, shot attempts, scoring chances, high danger chances, all of that was fairly even throughout the game. But it was Winnipeg that cashed in on their opportunities, and the Blackhawks struggled to do so, specifically on the power play as well. The Hawks went 0-3. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show, including some thoughts from Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill on the other side of the break right here on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Hawks fall to the Winnipeg Jets 6-3, opening up a 6-game road trip. It's their longest of the season, spans over 11 days. Let's get to tonight's Ice Times, which are sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America in more than 115 years. And it was Connor Bedard leading the way in Ice Time for Chicago. 21:26 of ice time. 2 seconds right behind him is Frank Nazar at 21:24. They were the only two players that the Blackhawks had that logged north of 20 minutes of ice time. No defenseman logged 20 minutes of ice time for the Blackhawks. It was Nazar and Bedard that led the way. Looking at Winnipeg, Neil Pionk finished with 26 minutes and 18 seconds of ice time, so he led the way for Winnipeg. Let's hear what Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill had to say after a 6-3 loss to Winnipeg.
Haven't been a whole lot of nights like this year so far. What can you take from a game like this?
You know, one of the things that I would say is we haven't been down three kind of going into the third. We haven't at all year. And I thought our guys came out and fought hard. That was one of the things I was interested to see in terms of the character of our group. Were we going to lay down or were we going to come out and play? And I thought we did a good job of that. I mean, that's a huge, against this team, it's hard to come back from that. And, you know, we certainly made a fight for it. But that part I was excited about. You know, I think there was moments, it was a kind of a weird game. There was moments in the game I thought we played really well, and then we made some big mistakes, and those big mistakes ended up in our net. You know, obviously they have one of the best top lines in the league, and those guys get opportunities, they're going to make you pay, and they did tonight.
Talk this morning about how Spencer Knight had been, you know, playing just so perfectly. I mean, Everyone has a night like this once in a while, I suppose.
For sure. Spencer's been great for us. He's going to continue to be real good for us. So it's just, you know, it's just, again, it was one of those nights where the puck found its way in, and we kind of move on. You know, we'll look at the video. We'll have some teaching stuff tomorrow. We'll get better, and then we'll have a practice, and we'll move on to Edmonton.
It seemed like some of the young D stepped up and got beat in the neutral zone blue line. What do you think? What would be your correction on that?
Kind of within our rules, in neutral zone, we shouldn't be running north. We should be lateral gapping. Part of what a defenseman has to do is kind of see with numbers. And, certainly on the second goal, we didn't do that. That's one. You know, actually, that shift was great. Actually, we had a great shift, and they come down 2-on-1 and score. And that's kind of the... You know, I think the maturing process for our team is you work so hard to have a good shift, create those kind of things. You can't give up those kind of easy chances. And not that you can at home, but you certainly can on the road.
What happened with Dickinson?
We'll see. He'll be evaluated tomorrow, and I'll see where he's at tomorrow. But, you know, he's definitely questionable for our game in Edmonton.
Is it a nagging thing that he's been dealing with?
Yeah, nagging thing. So.
When you're down him and Mikheyev,
Yeah, it's hard. You know, like, they've been a line, if they were both in together, we would have tried to work to, you know, even though it's on the road, to try to get them matched up against Scheifele's line, and they're not, you know. They're obviously big pieces of the penalty kill. We gave one up quick on the penalty kill, but they're just really good players, you know. So that is we've got a lot of young talent, but you still need those guys that know how to kind of manage their shifts and go against other teams, really good players. So it'll be something we'll have to deal with. I'm hoping Mickey will be back by Saturday, but we'll see.
What do you think of that Burakovsky goal?
I thought that line was pretty good, to be honest with you. Like, I guess that'd be the one thing I'd say. Like, I thought from a skill standpoint, they were good. I think they need to make sure they each get to the net, you know, so that's an important piece of it. But, I think as a line, I thought they were good. Yeah, thank you.
All right. That was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill, providing an injury update on Jason Dickinson. Dickinson didn't play in the third period because of that nagging injury. So unfortunately for him, it might sideline him on Saturday against Edmonton. Hopefully that's an injury that could get better with healing. And I don't know if Jason, like the competitor that he is, I know wants to play and doesn't want to miss games. And I think even Blashill had said it a few games ago prior to him missing, I think it was two games, that if it was the playoffs, Dickinson would be playing, but they wanted to hold him out for the regular season just to save him for the grind. And so unfortunately for him, he gets knocked back out because of that injury. And we've talked about it all year long with the Hawks going 11-7. There have been some games this year where they lose a forward and then they go down to 10 forwards, and it puts a little bit of a strain on the forward group. But that's probably why you saw inflated ice time numbers by Nazar and Bedard, who both were above 21 minutes of ice time. Last thing, the first line of Winnipeg was just absolutely terrific. I said I would share the numbers later on, so let's get to it. The Connor Scheifele Vilardi line. So check this out. When this trio was on the ice, at even strength together. Shot attempts were 15-13 in favor of Winnipeg. Shots on goal 8-3 in favor of Winnipeg. Scoring chances 10-6 Winnipeg. Goals for 4-1 Winnipeg. When they were not on the ice, Chicago led 20-15 in shot attempts, 10-7 in shots on goal, and 16-6 in scoring chances. So it was really that first line for Winnipeg that drove the success of this game. I didn't think Spencer Knight had his best stuff tonight, but boy, he deserved an off night. He's been the rock of this Blackhawks team between the pipes. He went into this game with a 2.11 goals against average and a .930 save percentage. He was third in goals saved above expected, just behind Thatcher Demko and Logan Thompson going into tonight. So it's just one of those games that he has an off night. He'd probably be the first one to tell you that he wasn't at his best, but no concern there. And it just feels like Winnipeg, they're a team that makes you pay when you give them chances, and they did so, and Chicago didn't take advantage of their chances, and same on the power play. The Hawks went 0-3, so it's one of those games. Doesn't get any easier against Edmonton on Saturday night. Hockey Night in Canada game, Bedard versus McDavid. We'll set that one up when we wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. Let's get to a prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. And how about a third round pick from this June draft, Nathan Boehm, who was drafted number 66 overall by the Blackhawks. He had a 3-point game yesterday. He's up to 21 points, 8 goals, 13 assists in 14 games with the WHL's Kamloops Blazers, which puts him on pace this year for 38 goals, 62 assists, and 100 points in 67 games. Last year, he put up 66 points, 31 goals, 35 assists in 59 games. So that would be a 34-point increase for Boehm, who is on a really nice trajectory, especially as a third-round pick. So hopefully he continues to have a strong season over in the WHL. And now time for tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be in Edmonton on Saturday. Hockey Night in Canada game. I'm checking the score right now. The Oilers are currently leading 3-2 the New York Rangers with about 8 minutes left in the third period. The Oilers, I think going into today, were sitting outside of a playoff spot. So not exactly the start that they wanted. It's the second straight year Edmonton has gotten a little bit slow out of the gates. And so hopefully that continues on Saturday. It was, I think, Zach Hyman was going to be eligible to return from LTIR on Saturday since suffering the wrist injury. And I think it was game 4 of the Stanley Cup final last year, but he's not ready to go. He's going to miss at least another week, I think Chris Knobloch said earlier today. So that's good news for the Blackhawks. They're not getting that emotional boost. But we'll see if the Blackhawks can bounce back. I was looking, remember last year, the Hawks were in Edmonton in game 3, and the Hawks scored 3 power play goals against the Oilers. So let's see if the Hawks can pull out some magic. That was their lone win in Edmonton last year. Let's see if they can do that again on Saturday.